Hello, this is the weekly astrology forecast, and this is astrologer Shelley Antine speaking to you about the planetary energies coming up for the first week in May, starting with Monday, the first day. And of course, we know that on Friday, the fifth day, we have the full moon in Scorpio that is also a lunar eclipse, and I have done a podcast for that because there's a lot in there and there's important things to know and think about and ponder. So you will find that separate podcast has already been posted on my blog page at shellyantine.com and goes out to my subscribers at noon on Sunday, as will this weekly astrology forecast. So if you want to get that in your email, you can sign up on the website for the blog email list. And if you're interested in my writing, which some people are finding really wonderful, you can also sign up for the author's news email. So having said that, Monday the first day is being declared Beltane on my calendar. And yes, that is the calendar Beltane. The actual Beltane would take place, and it does coincide with a full moon this time too, on the 5th through the 6th, depending on what part of the world you're in, as the 15th degree of Taurus arrives. And as some of you already know, the cross-quarter holidays like Beltane, Imbolc, Lunyasad, and Samhain, these are the Irish names, that has to be in the middle between the quarters, which are a solstice to an equinox to a solstice. And a quarter is 90 degrees of a 360-degree circle, so you have to add 45 degrees, right? And when you do that, you get to the 15th degree of the sign in the middle. Well, how is that for learning about a calendar that is based on actual sky instead of what somebody told you to make it easy, which is the first day of the month? Anyway, on this first day of the month, however, there is something very important happening. And you can celebrate on the calendar day. It really doesn't matter. It's just, you know, I'm a Sag and I like things to be pointing to a certain reality. Pluto retrogrades on Monday the 1st, all right? Here we go. We had Mercury. Now we've got Pluto. We know we're entering that retrograde cycle. Astrologers all over the social media are going to be making a big deal out of this, like it never happened before. The retrograde cycle, I mean. But it happens every year, just like Mercury happens several times every year. And we get through it. And Pluto retrograde, however, is really fascinating because we hardly got into its new sign of Aquarius. And now it stood still on Sunday and went into the retrograde motion on Monday. It won't move very fast, as it hasn't moved very fast in the direct motion either. That's, you know, the nature of these far out planets. And this one is really a far out planet. So it will not wander back from 0 degrees Aquarius into Capricorn until the 11th, 12th of June. And it will remain retrograde in Capricorn until the 11th day of October. And then it goes direct in Capricorn, it remains in Capricorn, and only gets to the 29th degree of Capricorn in December. So we've got to wait for 2024 to have Pluto go into Aquarius again. And let me just say, this is going to happen also in 2024. It's going to go in and retrograde. And so it'll be basically 2025 before we have the full on it's really in there, Pluto in Aquarius. But we have been, you know, sort of seeing things that are taking place that may be foreshadowing what the transit of Pluto in Aquarius will be like. However, we really, really, really don't know the extent of it, because Pluto works in subterranean ways. And we don't always know what transformed until the transformation is totally complete. And that's for better or for worse. So, Pluto retrograde. You are a Scorpio. You have Scorpio rising. You feel the backward motion of your chart ruler. And that is going to continue until that point that it goes direct, that I already told you in the segment of the beginning of the idea. So this is Pluto now also governing Scorpio. So whatever house you have on the cusp of the house, the sign of Scorpio, that house gets to go backwards and review, and things may slow down a bit for that time frame. It doesn't mean you can't do anything. It just means that, you know, there's going to be some sort of feeling of lag time, let's say. And I just noted that in my, I was noting that in my mind. That's what was taking me so much time getting you, getting that sentence out, because, you know, Shelley wants to get herself another book out there into the world, and was wondering, since it rules my house of communications, that's going to be retrograde. But anyway, nonetheless, we shall prevail, right? And we all will prevail despite the fact that the ruler is going backwards. Because every year, as I said, a lot of the planets from Jupiter on out are going to retrograde for a period of time. And so we have this one. And we may be able to see again as it goes back over those degrees of Aquarius before re-entering Capricorn. That will be when we may say, that's interesting. This may be how it happened in my own life. Now, a lot of people are noticing, because we're coming up to this lunar eclipse also with the moon in Scorpio, that we're going back over some deep old stuff, old pieces of ourselves, old pieces of our lives. And, you know, when we look at Scorpio, it's about eliminating and, you know, sort of renovation of things. So it's possible that during this retrograde, that will accelerate the process of clearing out to make room for some positive vision that you may be holding for the future. So that can be part of this also. But at any rate, that's like, you know, right out of the gates at 1:09 p.m. on Monday the 1st. That is the day that many will be celebrating the Beltane, which is, what is that? Well, it's the Festival of Flowers, because now we are in full-on green. If you hadn't noticed, look out the window, unless you happen to be experiencing this strange weather that some people are having in the United States where, you know, it's still snowing and it doesn't usually. But there's been a lot of flowering and it's fertile. It's fertile. The birds are definitely, they have got those eggs. They may have the little ones already out. I mean, I've seen cardinals chasing each other, male cardinals, to get the food, You get out of here. I want that food. Because, you know, they have those mouths to feed, right? So the fertility energy is celebrated at the Beltane. And for the agricultural calendar of our ancestors, far, far ancestors, this was and will be the first day of summer, because it is the cross-quarter festival that leads up to the midsummer solstice, which has the most light. So we are going to see increasing amounts of daylight as we head towards that midsummer solstice point, where the sun will stand still for 3 days before proceeding to tilt further south for us in the northern hemisphere. And that's when we'll start going into the darker half of the solar year. Lighter half comes up, growing light half, I should say, comes up from winter solstice to the solstice in the summer. The lighter half of the year is from the spring equinox to the fall equinox. Then we go into the darker half. That's a correction for you. Now, Monday, Moon in Virgo has been in sextile to Mars in Cancer until 5:08 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So we were getting some of our ducks back in a row overnight even, and figuring out how to deal with some things around the house or with the family, put things in order. While Pluto retrograde was coming in, though, Moon in Virgo is going into challenge mode again, square Venus in Gemini until 1:31 p.m. Now, this isn't nasty necessarily, but, you know, Virgo will find any Gemini planet a little too flighty, a little bit less focused than the moon would like things to be in order to get things done properly, you know. And anyway, however, one of the things that happens with this combination, Moon in Virgo square Venus in Gemini, is that it represents two people who are being judgmentally communicating about others, as in gossip. All right, so be aware of that. Next comes the clouded and confused energies of Moon in Virgo's opposition to Neptune in Pisces until 7:53 p.m. So Monday, after you wake up, isn't the greatest day that you've had in a while. We do have the Sun join Mercury at 7:28 p.m., but, you know, this is going back over some stuff about finance or home or real estate or garden. It's not necessarily positive or negative, but it's happening under this cloud that's come in where the information isn't accurate. People are being so unreliable as to be absent without you knowing why. This isn't the greatest time. We have a void, of course, Virgo moon, that may feel a lot better just not getting confused, just getting things back into some zone of normality, until the moon enters Libra on Tuesday morning at 2:09 a.m., makes a trine to retrograde Pluto in Aquarius at 2:51 a.m. And now, with all the other planets where they are, the next time we get an aspect come in exact for the moon in Libra is 5:10 p.m. on Wednesday. That's a long time. But it isn't devoid of course, Moon, because there is a story to tell. Unfortunately, the story that's coming in is a square from the Moon in Libra to Mars in Cancer. So there's relationship issues you may be having. You know, Mars in Cancer really has a strong need for security, and it wants to be in control of things like its nest or its home or you know, the family itself. It doesn't like to have that questioned or challenged in any way. And the moon in Libra can challenge just simply by trying to present a different point of view, because that's what Libra's famous for. You know, it can be a good thing, but it can also annoy you if you don't want to know. And that is what we're looking at. Now, we may not feel it too much on Tuesday. We'll feel it definitely more and more as the square comes closer and closer. But we should know about that if we're doing any kind of, you know, thinking that we're doing some sort of a planning. But also, we should know about this and Monday and everything else of this week, because we're coming up to a lunar eclipse that is about relationship. And here's the moon in Libra. Relationship. We are looking at this, and as you will hear in the Lunar Eclipse podcast, you know, it's not just a relationship to a husband or a partner. It's relationship in the broad context, you know, things that you relate to, which aren't just people. So take a look at what is going on during these challenging aspects and see if it has some message for you about things that are going to have to change in some way, a big way, transform with that lunar eclipse coming in. And so here's one of them. After 5:10 p.m. on Wednesday comes the lovely time for Moon in Libra of the trine to Venus in Gemini. And that's the rest of that evening and until 3:54 a.m. Eastern Time on Thursday the 4th. So now we are really getting along with whoever we're dealing with. We've got some really lovely energy for creativity, for entertainment that evening of Wednesday the 3rd. And just looking ahead with some hopeful ideas about relationships, and even maybe some things about laws and stuff coming out. After 3:54 a.m., however, it's pretty much overnight for us Eastern time folks, Moon in Libra opposes Jupiter in Aries until 5:17 a.m., and this is another person who doesn't want to hear another point of view, Jupiter in Aries. And a person who's not interested in relating, but interested in the self-expansion, Jupiter in Aries. So if you're still up and you find this coming in, or you got up because you're across the pond and it's 10:17 a.m. for you in England, not a good time to have discussions or try to get somebody to cooperate or compromise. Won't happen. Moon in Libra, void, of course, until the moon enters Scorpio, the sign of the eclipse, 10:32 a.m. That takes place on Thursday. And it squares Pluto in Aquarius at 11:12 a.m. And, of course, that'll happen all the time when Pluto's in Aquarius. Moon will, in Scorpio, will square it. And so here's an issue of control, a major issue of control, and not having the same ideas. And on the upside of Pluto in Aquarius, it is putting power into the people. But the moon in Scorpio wants personal power here. You know, I need to control this. So 11:12 a.m., again, not a great time to discuss things with people. Venus square Neptune takes place at 1:40 in the afternoon. So we had that lovely time with the moon in Libra trine Venus. But we may now be looking at everything through rose-colored glasses, which means you're seeing it as being much prettier than it really is. So you've got to be aware of that. You can be being a little bit on the bamboozled side. And it can, you know, also be difficult if you are trying to make sense and get somebody to hear you. Also, Neptune in Libra is maybe looking at you, but definitely isn't with you. Not really recording this or saving it to the mental file. After this, we get a good, and while this is coming in, the Venus square Neptune, Scorpio moon will trine Saturn and Pisces. Now you're talking. 8:53 p.m. Now we can get some agreements and structures handled, or we think they're handled. I mean, at least temporarily we think so. But the next stop for moon in Scorpio is the opposition to retrograde Mercury in Taurus, which is at 3:15 a.m. on Friday. That's the pre-full moon aspect. And so now, once again, there is no agreement that can be reached between these two. It's like the opposition to the sun, only it's dealing with a mind that is also wanting to go back over things and still will have a different idea than the moon in Scorpio. Venus, however, bounces off the square to Neptune and sextiles Jupiter in Aries. So if you're around the evening of the 4th, you can have a lot of fun and still be in a realm of structure and very psychic with Scorpio and Neptune ruling Pisces for Saturn. That, along with Venus sextile Jupiter, could, you know, be, as I said, a nice time, a good time, fun time. But once we get to around 9 o'clock, even though Venus doesn't complete that sextile until 12:03 a.m., and this could be like overdoing it, you know, if you're in party mode, you may be partying too long or whatever. You're looking online and seeing lots of things to buy or something, you should stop. You know, maybe it's a little too much. But 3:15 a.m., the opposition to Mercury retrograde in Taurus. 1:34 p.m., moon opposite sun in Taurus, lunar eclipse. Now, you know the polarity is Scorpio is shared resources and other people's values. Taurus is my values, what I value, and my stuff, my money. So we have that always as the polarity, you know. So this is something you can know other than all the information about the eclipse, which, as I said, there's a podcast for that. Pretty potent information. You won't see it in the United States, because the moon will be opposite the sun, which is pretty high in the sky here in the Western Hemisphere here. So it'll be the other side of the world, where it might be 1:34 a.m. that we'll get to see this eclipse, lunar eclipse, okay? So you don't have to go rushing around to see it. You won't see it. And when we go on from this, sun would be approaching also, but the moon will get there first, the opposition to Uranus and Taurus, 8:13 p.m. The sun is very close to Uranus for the eclipse. So what do we know? We know change is coming. When is it coming? Maybe not right away, but maybe now at 8:13 p.m. we hear something about it. And it's definitely out of control. So moon in Scorpio is not pleased. And that's what we know. But moon in Scorpio goes on again to have a trine to Mars in Cancer. So now, you know, if you have to put the pieces back together and make people feel more secure, you're able to do it after the opposition to Uranus at 8:13 p.m. Friday. you come into this moon trine Mars until 1:51 a.m. on Saturday. Now, that, those days, between the 5th and the 6th, people may be out celebrating the Beltane and doing their ceremonies either Friday or Saturday. I mean, pretty potent if you combine it with a lunar eclipse full moon, I'd say. And if you were celebrating Cinco de Mayo, you have another holiday to celebrate. But at any rate, you could do it on Saturday. You could do it in the morning if you wanted to. It doesn't really matter. We're not living the agricultural life where we're going to go out and dance around the maypole unless we are. And we're not going to be spending the night rolling around in the grass to have our own fertility experiences. Most people don't celebrate that way. But, you know, you may feel the energy of this holiday come in. And you'll probably hear me say again somewhere, if you're on the Astral Essence Facebook page, that this is actually the beginning of summer. So, after we're up in the Moon Trine's Neptune, 10:38 a.m., Moon in Scorpio, Trine Neptune, I mean, that would be a powerful time for a ceremony because it's very psychic and very metaphysical. So, wow, do it then if you want to really get some oomph out of that time frame. 10:38 a.m., Moon in Scorpio is now void, of course. It's going to be really helpful for us to spend some time in that void, of course, just letting ourselves relax and receive some sort of information that is helpful. Moon enters Sagittarius, 4:04 p.m. Saturday. Quick sextile to retrograde Pluto in Aquarius, 4:41 p.m. A little bit stimulating. You know, the Sag-Aquarius energy always gets along pretty well because, you know, they like to look at the possibilities. But after 4:41, you know, as long as Saturn's in Pisces, Moon in Sag has got to square it, and it will square it for coming in for the rest of Saturday evening, completing at 2:12 a.m. on Sunday the 7th. And unfortunately for Sagittarius Moon, there aren't any other planets to play with except a square to Neptune in Pisces. But that doesn't come in exact until the afternoon of Monday. So it's a long approach. It's just to know at this point on Sunday that you could be over-idealizing things. Absolutely. Maybe it's not just as wonderful as it seems. Sagittarius is an interesting sign in that it likes truth and it can often see truth where other people can't. But it also wants so much for things to be nice. It's Jupiter. It wants goodwill. So this is where it falls prey to, you know, the snake oil salesman, just wanting to believe, you know, looking for reasons to believe in something. Well, this is not the day to find them. But while we're moving toward Monday, at 10:25 a.m. on Sunday, the 7th, Venus leaves chatty Gemini and enters Cancer. And that's another sign that we kind of associate with the archetype of Venus, because here she is the loving nurturer and, you know, the mommy bringing you the pie, the apple pie. You know, I like to use that photo for this because this is how a lot of people think this is how we get loved. Literally. Food, clothing, and shelter. I mean, that is very loving to provide that for somebody, to gift them with food or clothing or shelter. Definitely, no doubt about it. And that is the terrain of Venus in Cancer. However, you know, Cancer is a very cautious sign. Why? Because it's very vulnerable. It has fluctuations of emotions, and it can really take things personally even when they're far off the mark about that. They just feel like an attack has come, even if the person had no intention of attacking or the situation had no intention. So one of the things about Venus in Cancer is they can be very off, standoffish, I should say. I was going to say off-putting, but I guess that's part of being standoffish. This is because they feel vulnerable and they won't really let you in until they feel that they're safe. You know, that's the whole thing. Emotional safety and also safety in the home and family. So these are the major values for Venus in Cancer, and she will spend on them. We will be spending on the home, on food, on things that have to do with family. And, you know, this is just the way it is. And this is the area that rules, well, this rules the breast and the womb. So spending on, you know, you might be buying a few more brassieres if you're a woman. But the area of the body would be, you know, maybe more emphasized on buying T-shirts or tops or, you know, things like that that enhance that, the beauty, enhancing the beauty of that area. Okay. And so, and also homes themselves, like this is a time when people may be inspired to go look for a place to live. So this is the kind of energy that Venus in Cancer is going to bring. And again, sentimentality is there. Collecting things is very Cancerian. You know, putting things in the nest to make it cozy. Cozy is a word, the Cancer word, yes. I mean, sometimes, I mean, I know somebody with Cancer rising who's an Aquarius, and that's one of his favorite words, cozy. I mean, you know, you wouldn't expect it from an Aquarian, but with Cancer rising, yes. They want to feel that comfort, secure, you know. So we'll have a whole different way of valuing, a whole different way of looking at values when Venus is in Cancer. And let's see. She's pretty far from the Sun in Cancer this time. You know, it doesn't go too far, though. We're in Taurus, Sun. We have Gemini Cancer, so she's not too far from the Sun, but she's kind of way ahead of the Sun now. She's going to retrograde this year. Indeed, she is. And she will get all the way through Cancer, though, before she does that. She gets to the end of her Cancer experience between the 4th and 5th of June. Okay? So, June is when she will shift into the sign of Leo, which is where she will retrograde on the 23rd of July. So that'll bring her back. Well, she'll be with the Sun. In that retrograde motion, that's part of what happens. She goes back over the Sun in retrograde. Yeah. So, anyway, that's the news of the week that we were looking at. Again, please listen to the podcast for the eclipse. It might be important for you to know. And when we get to next week, we are going to have, that is the week of the 8th to the 14th, We do have Mother's Day coming in there. And we also have the planetary direct motion of our old friend Mercury. Yes, indeed. So it'll be slowing down that week. We'll be talking about that. And May has a lot of kind of shifting going on because Jupiter will enter Taurus while we're in May, too. So I think we've had a lot of energy from that Aries stuff. So I'm thinking Jupiter in Taurus is going to be sort of toning things down. And we may be ready for that. So I will wish you all the best, and I'll say goodbye for